And now the game where we invite people on who are really, really good at one thing in order to do something else. The Hold Steady has been rocking the bars of Brooklyn for 10 years, meaning their audience likes their music loud, their lyrics complex and smart, and their beer cheap and ironic. So everybody put on your skinny jeans and grab a PBR, or perhaps a Rolling Rock, because we are delighted to welcome the lead singer of the Hold Steady to our show, Craig Finn. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So one thing we hear about you guys is that you are a great bar band, quote unquote. What exactly does that mean?
Well, it's something actually I put in our first press release. And I think what it meant to me was that we don't, you know, change clothes to go on stage. We just wear what we were wearing that day. And it's more about entertainment than smoke and mirrors or anything. I think we just get up and play and put our hearts into it.
So you guys started out in bars. I mean, you have to get people's attention, though. They're loud and sometimes obnoxious places.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's volume. But, I mean, I guess that in some way that's testament to how well you're playing is where you can get them looking your way, from the bar.
Hey, before we go on any further, let's play a little music for the audience in case they haven't heard it. This is from the Hold Steady's new record. It's called Our Whole Lives. The kids are ripping in the sugar packets. The town is taking off their tavern jackets. I'm in the pew sticking bills in the basket. Praying that they're cool when I come pick up the package. Tonight we're going to have a really good time. But I want to go to heaven on the day I die. Just track it, the 5:30 mass early Saturday night. Ring, 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 goes the telephone. Tell my little lamb said I'm on my way home. Now, one of the things I want to point out is that you are known for your lyrics, which are pretty complex and poetic and rhyming and clever with a lot of references. That is not typical sort of pop music kind of lyrical work. We're far beyond, you know, she loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you ever have anybody, like, in the audience raise their hand and go, could you stop and go back again? I missed that reference.
Well, I think that I have seen footnoted lyric sheets come up on the Internet.
So, really?
We're not too far away. But I think that, you know, I think that one of the things we'd like to do is make great rock music for smarter people. So I think that that's our intent.
Right. So it's great. So, like, 90% of your audience is rocking out and 10% are annotating you. I think that's...
While pumping their fists.
Of course. Yes. You guys, originally, all of you in the band are from Minnesota, but you formed your band in Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, most of us had lived in Minneapolis, and two of us are actually from Minneapolis. But I ended up here and wanted to form a band, and I kind of, quickest way to figure out who was going to be good were people I'd already seen play, and a lot of those were transplanted Midwesterners.
Really? So it wasn't like you were all hanging out in a particular bar in Brooklyn where Minnesota people go to eat cheese curds and drink...
It was a Vikings party.
A Vikings party, we figured out.
I've been to that place. That's on Fifth Avenue.
Yeah. your songs are so often about Minneapolis, which I loved. I mean, is there such a thing as like a Minnesota vibe? Is there a Minnesota nice rock and roll?
Well, I mean, there's certainly a great musical history out of Minneapolis with Prince and the Replacements and Bob Dylan and Husker Du. But more than that, I think when I write lyrics, I'm just still not comfortable writing as a New Yorker. I feel like Lou Reed does that very well, and I just feel like a poser trying to write a song about New York.
So you're living in New York, and you're writing these songs, and your songs are known for their kind of narrative arc, your stories. You have characters who recur. You're telling these stories about Minnesotans. You realize that you've become a kind of younger, hipper Garrison Keillor, don't you?
I'm just glad I'm hipper.
Yeah.
Although, if you've ever seen Garrison stage dive, it's something,
yeah, it's
something to behold.
You are a great lead singer and a great songwriter, and your band is a fantastic rock band. I will say, though, I watched some of your videos this week, and I've seen some of your appearances on TV, and I hope you take this the right way. You do not look like what most people think of when they think of, like, lead singer in a great rock band. Would you agree?
You know, my dentist just told me that today.
Really?
Yeah.
What did your dentist say?
She said, you do not look... She was actually maybe an assistant or a dental hygienist. She was Russian, and she said, you do not look like you can rock and roll.
That sounds to me like a challenge, actually, the way that she put it. But what did you say to her?
I didn't know what to say. So, you know, oftentimes when we go somewhere, the bus driver, usually the bus driver on the tour bus after a few weeks confesses that at first he thought I was the manager.
Really? At least he didn't think you were the accountant. It could have been worse. I want to ask you a little bit about your lyrics before we go into the game, because as I said, we've studied your lyrics, and there are themes that come up again and again. One of them, Ybor City, Florida.
Yeah.
What is it with Ybor City? Are you being paid by their Chamber of Commerce? What?
You know, when it started, I really liked the way it was spelled, and I liked saying it. Ybor, it's Y-B-O-R. That's cool. Like, right? You know?
Yeah.
Like, so I just got really into putting it in songs, so I got to say it. And then we went and played there, and then it became kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because once we had a couple songs about it, all our fans wanted to show up when we played in Ybor City as if right. It was some sort of mecca.
Oh, really? So it became, like, to go see the Hold Steady in Ybor City would be like seeing Frank Sinatra at Caesar's Palace.
This is, I guess, yeah.
This is the place. We asked our Twitter followers, who follow us at Twitter/WaitWait, if they had a question for you, and one that they wanted us to ask was, do you ever get mistaken for a math teacher?
I think I probably get mistaken for a lot of things. The Verizon guy sometimes comes up, you know? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, you do look a little bit like him. Have you ever started a concert going, hey, Detroit, can you hear me now?
No, but I might now.
You would blow their minds. Well, Craig Finn, we love your music, and we're delighted to talk to you. And we have invited you here to play a game we're calling...
You're going to spend 3 weeks inside an airtight closet with two other guys. Good luck.
Actually sounds like a tour, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But no, what we're talking about is the fact that this week marked the 41st anniversary of the first moon landing back in 1969. So we thought we'd ask you not about that achievement per se, but about what went into getting there. Using Mary Roach's wonderful new book, Packing for Mars, we are going to ask you 3 questions about the research that went into the first space flights. Get 2 right, you'll win our prize. One of our listeners, Carl's voice on the home answering machine. Carl, who is Craig Finn playing for?
Craig is playing for Natasha Laney of Sarasota, Florida.
All right, ready to play, Craig?
Yeah,
ready. Here's your first question. The first research into what would happen to living creatures sent into the sky goes back a surprisingly long way. Which of these was one of the first such experiments? A, Russian scientists working for Tsar Peter the Great shot some monkeys out of a cannon. B, the Montgolfier brothers, balloon pioneers, sent a duck, a sheep, and a rooster up in a balloon to see what would happen to them. Or C, rocket pioneer Robert Goddard used to take his dog on walks to the top of mountains just to see how it behaved up there.
Number two.
You can go for the Montgolfier brothers sending animals up in their balloon?
Yes.
You're right. That's exactly what they did. You see, nobody had ever been up that high before. They didn't know what would happen up to 2,000 feet. So they tested it first on a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. The animals were fine when they came back down, although the sheep soiled the basket. As you might expect.
Right. Yeah.
Now we have to get another basket.
Yeah. All right, next question. Once the space program began in earnest in this country, a lot of testing went into finding out what would happen when you put people in the spacecraft and sent them into the stars, including a research program specifically into the effects on astronauts of what? A, extreme body odor. B, having an annoying voice constantly in your ear. Or C, having to spend a week strapped next to somebody who you cannot stand.
A.
You're going to go for A, the body odor.
Yeah.
You're right. That's why you should be confident. Researchers put test subjects in a chamber for weeks, wouldn't let them change their clothes or wash. They discovered that BO gets worse and worse for about 5 to 8 days. Then the human nose just kind of shorts out and stops noticing it. It's a survival instinct. All right, this is very good. Let's see how well you do with the last one. When the Russians put the first man in space up on their ship, Yuri Gagarin, they took an extra precaution because they, again, didn't know what would happen. What was their precaution? A, they gave him a handgun in case he was attacked by aliens. B, they locked the controls in case he went insane. Or C, they gave him an Aeroflot air sickness bag just in case.
I'm saying B.
You know they locked the controls?
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
They did not know, since it had never been done before, what would happen if you sent a guy that high in the air, so they locked the controls, so if he lost his mind, he couldn't ruin everything.
The Russians wouldn't put an individual first.
No, they wouldn't do that.
I love that the Russians just kind of assumed that there might be some condition known as the space crazies.
So, Carl, how did Craig Finn do in our quiz?
Craig had three correct answers, Peter, so he wins for Natasha Laney. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well done.
Thank you.
Hey, before we go, one thing we noticed when you were when we were watching you on videos and some of your concert footage, you gesticulate a lot when you sing. You're not one of those guys who just grabs the mic and stays there. You're leaping around a lot and gesticulating. Is that something you practice, or is that natural?
No, it's natural. It's more about turning something off in your brain that would allow you to not want to look like a fool.
Oh, really? So whatever that anti-fool governor mechanism in your brain is, you just turn it off. And
clip it, yeah.
Craig Finn is the lead singer of The Hold Steady. Their new album, Heaven Is Whenever, is fantastic, and it is out now. Get it wherever you get your music. Craig Finn, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Great.